Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever looked at the market and wondered if there's, a valuable company hiding in plain sight? One that has completely reinvented itself, maybe shed its old identity, but the market just hasn't quite caught on yet.
It happens more often than you'd think.
Well, that's the fascinating question at the heart of our deep dive today. Our focus is Secure Waste Infrastructure Corp.
Right.
Now, that name might sound new, but this company, formerly known as Secure Energy Services Inc., has undergone, well, a profound transformation.
A really significant one.
So our mission in this deep dive is to dissect an in-depth investment analysis of Secure. We want to pull out the crucial insights, uncover some surprising facts, and really understand the journey of this business.
Get under the hood, so to speak.
Exactly. By the end of this, you'll have a shortcut to understanding how a business model can fundamentally shift, what truly makes a company moteworthy in its industry, and why perceived market value can sometimes significantly lag behind the fundamental reality of a business.
And what's truly compelling here is that this isn't just about numbers on a spreadsheet, right?
Not at all.
It's a remarkable case study in strategic evolution. It shows how a management team can proactively, mitigate risk, adapt to changing landscapes, and deploy capital with discipline to create real, tangible, long-term value for shareholders. We'll be sifting through detailed data, kind of like a detective piecing together clues,
Yeah.
to understand the intricacies of this transformation and its implications.
Okay, so let's start by tracing the dramatic evolution of this company. For a long time, Secure Energy Services Inc., founded back in 2007 by René Amirault, was really firmly entrenched as a key player in the Canadian energy services sector.
That was its identity.
Right, its initial identity was that of a diversified but somewhat cyclical provider, meaning its fortunes largely ebbed and flowed with the, let's face it, often volatile oil and gas industry.
Very much tied to that cycle.
But that really began to fundamentally change with a pivotal moment.
A really key moment.
On July 2, 2021, Secure completed what was described as a truly transformative all-share merger with Tervita Corporation.
Now, Tervita was a big competitor, particularly strong in environmental and waste services.
Exactly. And this wasn't just a simple acquisition. It significantly expanded Secure's scale, dramatically increased its asset base, and broadened its service capabilities right across the board.
It really consolidated their market position, made them a much bigger, more formidable player.
Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that Tervita merger was, well, it was way more than just a large acquisition.
Okay.
It represented a foundational shift in Secure's strategic direction. Before this, they were often seen as just riding those boom and bust cycles of drilling activity.
Right, the typical energy services story.
Exactly. This merger was a crucial, deliberate step, moving them away from that purely cyclical perception. It set them firmly on a path towards becoming a more stable, infrastructure-like business.
And to really hammer that point home, to solidify this strategic pivot, the company officially rebranded. They became Secure Waste Infrastructure Corp. on January 1st, 2025.
Relatively recently.
Yeah. And this wasn't just, a cosmetic name change.
No, not at
This
all.
was a very deliberate move to align the company's public identity with its new strategic focus, its most stable, most defensible business lines, comprehensive waste management, and critical energy infrastructure.
It's like a formal declaration of what they'd actually become.
Right. So, for you, the listener, what does this profound evolution truly mean? How has this transformation fundamentally altered Secure's financial profile, its underlying risk exposure, and maybe most importantly, its long-term growth trajectory?
Well, the core of this transformation lies in a dramatic shift in the company's revenue and, critically, its cash flow composition.
Okay, cash flow, that's key.
Absolutely. After the Tervita merger in 21 and then a subsequent major asset divestiture in early 2024, we'll talk more about that later. Approximately 75% of Secure's adjusted EBITDA now stems from its waste management segment. 75%. Wow.
Yeah, and this segment is characterized by incredibly stable, recurring revenue streams. This is the absolutely key part. Roughly 80% of his volumes are tied to the ongoing non-discretionary waste generated by oil and gas production.
Production, not drilling.
Precisely, not the highly volatile drilling and completion cycle. This composition fundamentally de-risks the business. It moves it from a project-based cyclical model to one that offers a much more predictable, almost utility-like cash flow profile.
That's a huge change in character for the company. Hashtag tag #2, a deeper look into the evolved business model.
Okay, so we've grasped the big picture of this transformation. Let's really unpack the nuts and bolts now. What does Secure Waste Infrastructure Corp do today? Their operations are now clearly organized into two primary complementary segments that, powerfully leverage a shared extensive infrastructure network.
Right, these two pillars work together.
Let's start with the first pillar, waste management. This segment now accounts for that significant chunk we mentioned, approximately 75% of their estimated 2025 adjusted EBITDA.
The lion's share.
Definitely. This is, without a doubt, the cornerstone of the modern Secure and the primary engine of their recurring cash flow. They provide a comprehensive suite of end-to-end solutions for industrial and energy-related waste streams.
And these services are absolutely essential. Customers need them for regulatory compliance, for operational continuity. They can't just not do it.
Exactly. So within this critical waste management segment, how are they actually generating revenue? Well, it's a diverse mix, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's not just one thing.
You have your core operations like waste processing and disposal. Think massive volumes of produced water that's a natural byproduct of oil and gas extraction that just has to be continuously handled.
Comes up with the oil and gas.
Right. And the safe management of both hazardous and non-hazardous solid waste at their network of highly regulated industrial landfills.
Okay, the basics.
But then they get really clever. They also offer crude oil emulsion treatment. Their facilities process waste streams from oil and gas ops to actually recover saleable crude oil.
Ah, so turning waste into revenue.
Exactly. It's brilliant. It creates an additional valuable revenue stream from what would otherwise just be a disposal cost.
Smart.
And it doesn't stop there. They're also involved in metals recycling. They operate facilities that aggregate and process both ferrous and non-ferrous scrap metals from a diversified range of industrial sources, not just energy.
So broaden out a bit there, too.
Yeah. And finally, specialty chemicals. Secure develops and blends proprietary chemicals used to optimize waste processing and enhance asset performance for their customers. Like vertical integration, adding value along the way.
Right. Makes their whole offering stickier.
Okay. So that's waste management. The second pillar is energy infrastructure. This accounts for the remaining roughly 25% of their estimated 2025 adjusted EBITDA.
Still significant.
Absolutely. And this segment provides critical logistics services that perfectly complement the waste management side, and it shrewdly leverages the company's existing strategic asset footprint.
Makes sense. Use the network.
And importantly, the revenue from this segment is largely fee-based, which adds stability, and it's secured through long-term commercial agreements. Another layer of cash flow predictability.
Fee-based is good. Less commodity exposure.
Right. Services here include crude oil gathering and transportation operating pipeline systems that transport crude from production sites to larger hubs. And they also have terminaling and storage. A network of pipeline-connected terminals providing crude oil storage, optimization services, marketing flexibility for customers.
So really covering the whole life cycle in some ways.
Yeah, it feels quite integrated.
What's truly fascinating here is how these two segments, waste management and energy infrastructure, work in tandem. They leverage that shared interconnected infrastructure network,
right,
which, raises an important question for us. How does their extensive physical footprint actually create such a significant and durable competitive advantage? Because that's really key.
The moat we talked about.
Yes, exactly. The moat. Secure's strategic advantage is profoundly rooted in its physical asset base. The company operates this extensive and crucially difficult to replicate network. About 80 facilities.
80? That's a lot.
It is, and they're strategically located throughout the most active regions of the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, the WCSB, and even into North Dakota.
Yep.
This integrated network isn't just, a collection of buildings and pipes. It is quite literally the physical manifestation of their competitive moat.
So what are the key components?
Well, you've got 55 waste processing and transfer facilities. Those are the essential hubs for treating liquid and solid waste streams. Then 12 industrial landfills. These are highly strategic, long-life assets for that final critical disposal of solid waste.
Okay, those landfills must be hard to permit.
Incredibly hard. We'll get to that. Then, complementing this are 12 metal recycling facilities supporting that growing business line and 3 oil pipeline systems providing stable, fee-based revenue for energy infrastructure. These are long-life, highly strategic assets that are incredibly hard, if not impossible, for someone else to just build.
That's an enormous integrated network. But how does that network translate into a durable, truly defensible business model, especially given those roots in the energy sector?
Right.
This is where it gets really interesting. The evolution of Secure's business model has been this deliberate shift to create greater stability and defensibility. Characteristics you'd maybe associate more with a utility or pure infrastructure play, not a traditional energy service company.
Yeah, it's a different animal now.
A critical element of this de-risking is the very nature of its revenue streams. The company says approximately 80% of its volumes are tied to stable, production-related recurring waste streams.
That 80% number again, it's crucial.
Think about it. Once an oil or gas well is operational, it generates a continuous stream of produced water, other byproducts, stuff that simply must be managed for regulatory compliance.
Doesn't matter if oil is $50 or $100, that water keeps coming.
Exactly. It happens, regardless of whether new drilling is taking place. This creates a baseline of non-discretionary recurring demand for Secure services.
Which is a stark contrast to its historical exposure to that highly cyclical drilling and completion market.
Right.
Which now, remarkably, accounts for only about 20% of its cash flow sources.
20%. That's a flip.
A huge flip.
And this business model is also fiercely protected by these formidable high barriers to entry, that competitive moat we keep mentioning. This makes their market position highly defensible.
And these aren't easily overcome by potential competitors. They're a primary source of the company's long-term value.
So what are they specifically?
Okay, first, there's regulatory complexity. Imagine trying to build, I don't know, a new airport or something near a major city.
Yeah, nightmare.
That's kind of the level of regulatory hoops, environmental assessments, often community opposition that new waste management facilities face, especially industrial landfills. It's exceptionally time-consuming, costly, and just plain uncertain. Navigating those stringent environmental regs at multiple levels of government, it's a massive hurdle that protects incumbents like Secure.
Okay, regulation is a barrier. Makes sense.
Second, high capital investment. Building the specialized infrastructure processing plants, disposal wells, pipelines, those engineered landfills requires substantial upfront capital. It deters pretty much everyone except the most well-capitalized players.
Right. You can't just start this in your garage.
I'm not even close.
Yeah.
And thirdly, specialized operating expertise. Safely and efficiently handling complex, often hazardous, industrial waste streams requires a deep base of technical and operational knowledge. It's built over many, many years. This is simply not a commodity service someone can easily replicate.
Right. So regulations, capital, expertise, that's a strong moat.
Very strong. And adding to this strength is its inherent scalability.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, the existing asset network possesses significant embedded spare capacity. Management has indicated the network's trailing 12-month utilization rate is somewhere around 60% to 65%.
So they're not running full out?
No, not even close. And this spare capacity is crucial because it means Secure can handle a material increase in customer volumes and grow its revenue with very little incremental capital expenditure.
Operational leverage.
Exactly. That operational leverage allows for strong margin expansion and cash flow growth as activity levels in the WCSB increase without having to build a whole new plant for every new customer.
That's powerful.
This leads to a powerful analogy, I think, for understanding Secure's business model.
Okay.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the company can be best understood not just as a service provider, but almost like a utility for the oil field.
A utility for the oil field. I like that.
Its infrastructure provides an absolutely essential non-discretionary service, critical for the daily operations of its customers. Oil and gas wells, once drilled, produce that constant stream of waste byproducts that, by law, have to be disposed of compliantly.
Right.
Secure owns the critical permitted infrastructure needed for this disposal. This ties its revenue directly to the ongoing production of oil and gas, a far more stable metric than the highly cyclical drilling and completion of new wells.
Production versus drilling again.
It transforms the customer relationship from short-term, project-based to long-term, recurring, fundamentally enhancing the quality and predictability of its earnings. #TechTree. The Canadian energy landscape and regulatory tailwinds.
Okay, even with this impressive transformation, Secure is still, you know, deeply connected to the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, the WCSB. So what's the outlook for this critical region, and how does that impact a company like Secure?
That's a fair question. You can't ignore the context.
Let's talk about the WCSB industry outlook. Canada is, what, the world's fourth largest crude oil producer?
Mm-hmm.
And the WCSB is the engine.
Absolutely, the heartland.
The outlook for the basin is, well, it's modest but stable growth, right?
Yeah.
Projections show maybe a 2.5% annual increase in Canadian crude supply through 2030.
Yeah, nothing explosive, but steady.
And importantly, this growth isn't expected from a boom in huge new projects, but more from optimization, debottlenecking existing oil sands facilities. They're getting more efficient.
Right, squeezing more out of what's already there.
And a significant recent development supporting this stable outlook is the completion of new pipeline takeaway capacity, most notably the Trans Mountain expansion, TMX.
Ah, yes, TMX. That was a long time coming.
For years, constrained pipelines created bottlenecks, depressed the price of Canadian crude WCS relative to U.S. benchmarks, created uncertainty for producers.
Big time, the differential issue.
Right. The addition of this new capacity is expected to improve pricing, provide access to new markets, and basically give producers the confidence to maintain and maybe modestly grow production levels.
Reduces a major risk for them.
And this environment of stable, long-term production is highly favorable for SECURE's business model, which thrives on those consistent waste volumes.
Absolutely. Stable production means stable waste streams. That connection to ongoing production rather than drilling is the crucial differentiator for SECURE.
Right.
What really jumps out at me is the subtle but significant relationship between commodity prices and SECURE's service demand. It's not what you might initially think.
Okay, how so?
Well, while SECURE's business has become significantly more resilient to commodity price swings, it's important to remember it's not totally immune.
Right, it's still linked.
It's linked.
Okay.
But the key distinction is the nature of its sensitivity. Because the revenue is mainly tied to production volumes, which are inherently less volatile than drilling activity, the biggest risk would come from a scenario where commodity prices fall incredibly low for a sustained period.
Like crash and stay crash.
Exactly. So low, they drop below the cash operating costs of producers, forcing them to actually shut in existing
Okay,
wells.
what's that threshold?
Well, the good news is that break-even costs for major Canadian oil sands producers are relatively low now. Thanks to efficiency gains, they're estimated around $27 per barrel on average.
$27. Okay, that's quite low.
It is. So as long as oil prices stay above that threshold, production is likely to continue, and so will the generation of waste streams that SECURE handles.
So they need prices above that $27 mark, roughly.
Roughly, yeah. This creates a fundamentally different risk profile than drilling and completion service companies. Their activity levels are highly sensitive to producer investment decisions driven by the absolute level and expected trajectory of prices.
Right. If prices look bad, drilling stops fast.
Exactly. For SECURE, it's more about price stability above that production break-even point. That's far more important than the absolute price level itself.
Interesting distinction. Now, here's a point that might surprise some listeners. We often think of more regulation as, a bad thing for businesses, a hindrance.
Typically, yeah. More costs, more paperwork.
But for SECURE, it's actually become a significant advantage. Can you unpack why that's the case? How can more regulation be a good thing?
It seems paradoxical, right? But an increasingly stringent regulatory environment is actually a significant long-term tailwind for SECURE.
A tailwind.
We're talking about the regulatory environment as a structural growth driver. Governments in Canada are implementing stricter rules governing the environmental liabilities of oil and gas producers.
Cleaning up old sites.
Exactly. This includes new regulations that mandate minimum annual spending on the abandonment, remediation, and reclamation of inactive or orphaned wells.
So forcing cleanup spending.
Right. And this creates a durable, non-cyclical source of demand for SECURE services, particularly its industrial landfills.
Because that cleanup generates waste.
Precisely. The process of decommissioning a well site generates substantial volumes of contaminated soil and other solid waste that require disposal in highly specialized permitted facilities.
Like SECURE's landfills.
Exactly. As the owner and operator of the largest network of such landfills in the WCSB, SECURE is uniquely positioned to capture this end-of-life cycle activity.
So the stricter the cleanup rules, the more business for their landfills.
In essence, yes. Stricter regulations on water disposal and general waste handling further entrench the necessity of SECURE's specialized infrastructure. It makes their services indispensable for their customers' social license to operate.
Fascinating. Regulation actually driving demand.
It leads us to wider industry trends, specifically industry consolidation trends. The Canadian energy services sector has seen a strong trend towards consolidation. Companies seeking scale, efficiency, broader service offerings.
Like the SECURE Divided deal itself.
That was a prime example, creating a dominant market leader. The current market environment, rewarding operational efficiency and balance sheet strength, is likely to encourage more consolidation.
And SECURE could be a buyer now.
With its strong financial position post-divestiture, Secure is exceptionally well-positioned to act as a consolidator, particularly in fragmented subsectors like metals recycling, where they've already made strategic acquisitions.
Okay.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, a unique and powerful aspect of Secure's market position is its ability to actually benefit from both the ongoing operations and the eventual decline of the fossil fuel industry.
How does that work?
Well, it creates this multi-decade runway of demand. In a scenario of sustained or growing production, that steady stream of produced water and operational waste provides a recurring revenue base.
Okay, business as usual.
But conversely, in a scenario of managed decline, perhaps driven by the energy transition, the legal and financial obligation for producers to decommission their assets will accelerate.
More cleanup.
Exactly. That end-of-life process generates enormous quantities of waste requiring disposal in Secure's specialized landfills. It's this powerful counter-cyclical hedge, a distinctive feature that significantly enhances the long-term defensibility of its business model. They kind of win either way.
Benefit from operations now. Benefit from cleanup later. That's quite a position. #TechTechIvy, competitive edge and market leadership.
So who exactly does Secure compete with in this evolving landscape? It really sounds like they're carving out a pretty unique position, moving beyond just traditional energy services.
Yeah, their competitive landscape is actually quite varied because of that integrated model. They face different competitors across different service lines.
Okay, like who?
In traditional energy services, areas like specialty chemicals, fluid management, they compete with established players. Think CES Energy Solutions for consumable chemicals. Other large, diversified oil field service companies like Weatherford also offer competing services in waste management or well site services.
Right, the big guys.
Then in their midstream infrastructure segment, the pipelines and terminals, they compete with other midstream operators like Plains All American Pipeline.
Okay.
But, and this is crucial, from a valuation and business model perspective, Secure's most relevant comparables are those large publicly traded North American waste management peers. The companies like Waste Connections, GFL, Clean Harbors.
Exactly. Republic Services, Waste Management, Inc. Yeah. While those companies often have a broader industrial and municipal focus.
Right. They pick up your household trash sometimes.
Correct. But they represent the valuation benchmark for infrastructure-like waste businesses. And that's precisely where Secure is increasingly positioning itself. So that's the peer group we really need to watch for valuation.
Got it. So that brings us to the core of their market position. What's particularly striking is how their competitive advantages are built on those tangible assets and those tough regulatory hurdles we discussed. Creates a real shield.
A robust shield is a good way to put it. When we analyze Secure's competitive advantages, their dominant market position is built on a foundation of truly durable strengths that form that economic moat.
Okay, break it down.
First, market share dominance. After the Tervita merger, and even after they had to sell off some assets.
Forced divestiture.
Right. Even after that, Secure remains the clear market share leader for industrial and energy-related waste management in Western Canada. This scale gives them significant operational leverage purchasing power.
Okay, being the biggest helps.
Definitely. But maybe their most powerful advantage is that irreplaceable integrated asset network.
The 80 facilities, the landfills?
Exactly. As we detailed, the combination of high capital costs, complex regulatory hurdles, especially for permitting new industrial landfills, and that specialized operational knowledge, it makes their network extremely difficult, if not impossible, to replicate.
Right.
This integrated network lets Secure function as a one-stop shop for its customers, bundling services from waste generation at the wellhead all the way to final disposal at a landfill.
Makes it easy for the customer.
Very easy. And it creates sticky customer relationships and efficiencies that smaller single-service competitors just can't match. Imagine a smaller competitor trying to go head-to-head. They wouldn't just need capital. They'd need years, maybe decades, to gain the permits and build out a network that took Secure over a decade to assemble.
Yeah, that moat seems pretty wide and deep. With such a dominant position and services that are absolutely essential, do they have pricing power? Can they charge a premium? And what about their customer base? Is it diversified enough, or is it all tied to a few big players?
Good questions. The essential nature of Secure services, combined with the limited number of permitted disposal and processing facilities, certainly affords the company a degree of pricing power and stability.
So, yes, some pricing power.
Some, yes. While they have to remain competitive, their customers' need for compliant and reliable waste management solutions makes them less sensitive to price than they would be for, say, more discretionary services. They need it done right.
Okay, and the customers?
As for their customer base, yes, it is concentrated in the energy sector, but it's considered very high quality and reasonably diversified within that sector.
How diversified?
Well, for example, their top 10 customers accounted for 28% of revenue in fiscal 2024. Importantly, no single customer represented more than 10% of total revenue.
Okay, so not overly reliant on any one company.
Correct. It mitigates the risk of losing any single client. And crucially, an estimated 70% of the revenue from these top 10 customers comes from investment-grade counterparties.
Ah, financially strong customers.
Exactly. That indicates a strong and financially stable client roster, which significantly reduces counterparty credit risk. You're dealing with solid companies. #V. Unpacking the financial performance.
Okay, let's really dive into the numbers now. How has this transformation we've been discussing actually played out in Secure's financial performance over the last few years? Show us the money, so to speak.
All right. An analysis of Secure's financial performance over the past several years clearly tells the story of its strategic transformation. Their revenue and profitability trends show significant growth, mainly driven by that mid-2021 Tervita merger.
Which more than doubled their size.
Right. Now, there's a large oil purchase and resale revenue line item on their statements. It relates to marketing activities in the energy infrastructure segment.
Okay.
It can sometimes distort the view of the underlying performance of the core service business, so analyzing revenue excluding this item gives a much clearer picture of core operational trends.
Got it. Look at revenue ex oil trading.
Exactly. The most compelling aspect of Secure's financial profile is its profitability. The company has consistently generated industry-leading adjusted EBITDA margins, typically in the 33% to 39% range.
That sounds pretty high for this kind of business.
It is. It demonstrates exceptional operational efficiency, cost control, and the clear benefits of that integrated high barrier to entry business model. For the full year 2024, for example, Secure achieved a 35% adjusted EBITDA margin on revenue, excluding oil purchase and resale, of $1.403 billion.
35%. Impressive.
Very. Now, net income has shown more volatility. It gets impacted by non-cash charges like depreciation and also one-time items.
Like that big asset sale.
Precisely. A notable example is the 2024 net income of $582 million. That was significantly inflated by a $520 million pre-tax gain from the asset divestiture to Waste Connections.
Okay, so net income can be lumpy.
Exactly. For this reason, adjusted EBITDA and especially discretionary free cash flow, or DFCF, are much more representative metrics of the company's recurring earnings power.
Right. Adjusted EBITDA and DFCF. That's what to focus on.
The real story in the financials often lies in cash flow. This raises that important question again. How well does Secure convert its operational profits into actual usable cash that they can deploy?
The cash conversion.
Yes. Secure's cash flow generation is a core strength. The company exhibits a very high conversion of adjusted EBITDA into discretionary free cash flow, DFCF.
Remind us what DFCF is again.
Think of it as the real money left over after the company pays all its operating bills and maintains its existing assets, the maintenance capital. It's the cash management truly has at its discretion to grow the business, pay down debt, or reward shareholders.
Okay, the truly free cash.
Pretty much. In both 2023 and 2024, this conversion ratio was approximately 60% to 64% of adjusted EBITDA.
60 to 64%, that's high.
It's very high. And it's a testament to the relatively low maintenance capital requirements of its existing efficient infrastructure. They don't have to spend a fortune just to keep the lights on.
Got it. So what was the DFCF number in 2024?
For the full year 2024, the company generated a robust $316 million in DFCF. That's equivalent to $1.24 per basic share.
$316 million.
Yeah. This strong and predictable cash flow generation is truly the engine funding the company's capital allocation priorities, organic growth, dividends, and those big share buybacks we'll get to.
Okay. And a strong balance sheet is the foundation for all that. How does Secure's look, especially after that major asset sale? Must have cleaned things up.
Oh, absolutely. That February 2024 asset divestiture was a watershed moment for Secure's balance sheet. The $1.15 billion in all cash proceeds were immediately used to delever. It fundamentally transformed their financial position.
So where do they stand now, debt-wise?
As of June 30, 2025, the company's total debt-to-EBITDA covenant ratio was a comfortable 2.1x.
2.1. That gives them flexibility.
Significant financial flexibility for future growth and shareholder returns. Their capital structure consists of a $900 million revolving credit facility maturing in 2028.
Okay, still a few years away.
And $300 million in 6.75% senior unsecured notes due in 2029. So no near-term debt maturities, substantial available liquidity. The balance sheet is strong and very well-positioned.
Good shape financially. Okay, let's look at table one. Seven-year key financial metric summary again, just to put some numbers to this. For 2024, total revenue was $7.76 billion.
But remember the oil purchase resale.
Right. Revenue excluding oil purchase and resale was $1.403 billion. That's the core business number. Net income was $582 million, but again, includes that big gain.
Adjusted EBITDA is a better guide. $490 million in 2024.
And that crucial discretionary free cash flow, DFCF, was $316 million.
That's the engine.
Total debt, trailing 12 months as of June 30, 2025, was $734 million. Right. And the adjusted EBITDA margin was strong at 35% in 2024, similar to 34% in 2023.
Consistency there. And where it says NA for earlier years in the table, it just means that specific data point wasn't reported in that exact format back then in the source documents.
Got it. Consistent performance, strong cash flow, solid balance sheet. Okay, a company can make great profits, have a strong balance sheet. But how it uses that money, its capital allocation, really tells you a lot about its priorities, its commitment to shareholders. Yeah. What's Secure's strategy here? How are they deploying that cash?
Secure's management team has laid out a very clear and disciplined capital deployment framework. It's designed to maximize long-term shareholder value.
They have priorities.
Yes, a specific order. First, investing in high-return organic growth projects within the business.
Okay. Reinvest first.
Second, pursuing strategic accretive acquisitions, buying other businesses that fit well and add value.
Makes sense.
Third, maintaining a competitive and sustainable dividend for shareholders.
Returning cash directly.
And fourth, executing opportunistic share repurchases, buying back their own stock.
Okay, a clear hierarchy. What's the scale of this deployment?
It's substantial. Between 2023 and 2025, the company anticipates deploying over $1.9 billion of capital.
$1.9 billion. That's a lot relative to their size.
It is. And the breakdown of this planned deployment really underscores their current strategic focus. Approximately $1.1 billion is earmarked for share buybacks.
Wow, over $1 billion on buybacks alone.
Yes. Then $315 million for dividends, $300 million for organic growth, and $190 million for strategic M&A.
So buybacks are the biggest piece by far.
By far. This allocation clearly signals that, after deleveraging the balance sheet, returning capital to shareholders is their paramount priority right now.
That focus on share buybacks is particularly aggressive. It tells a powerful story about what management thinks of their own stock price, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The sheer impact of that share repurchase program is quite something. Share repurchases are truly a primary value driver for Secure at the moment.
How big was it in 2024?
In 2024 alone, the company repurchased 57.3 million common shares for a total cost of $657
million. $657
million. And that action reduced its total shares outstanding by 19% in a single year.
19% reduction in shares. Just like that.
Just like that. This aggressive buyback activity is a very clear signal from management. They believe the company's shares are fundamentally undervalued.
Putting their money where their mouth is.
Exactly. By repurchasing nearly 30% of its outstanding shares over a 2.5-year period, the company is mechanically increasing the per-share value of the business for the remaining shareholders. Each share represents a bigger piece of the pie.
Right.
And this strategy is particularly effective when a company generates strong free cash flow, like Secure does, and trades at what seems like a low multiple. Each dollar spent on buybacks retires a larger portion of the company's equity, directly benefiting the owners who stick around.
Makes sense. Beyond those massive buybacks, how does Secure ensure it's consistently sharing success with shareholders through, you know, more traditional means like dividends?
Right. They haven't forgotten the dividend payers. Secure maintains a clear dividend policy and sustainability strategy. Their current dividend is set at $0.10 per share per quarter.
Okay, 10 cents a quarter.
Which translates to $0.40 per share on an annualized basis. This provides a dividend yield of roughly 2.4% to 2.7%, depending on the stock price.
Which is decent, competitive,
Yeah, it's competitive within its peer group, especially when you consider the stability of its cash flows. And given the company's robust discretionary free cash flow generation, remember that $316 million DFCF in 2024, the dividend commitment appears highly sustainable.
It's well covered by cash flow.
Very well covered. The total annual dividend payout is only a fraction of the DFCF. It leaves ample cash for those growth investments and, of course, the substantial share repurchases we just talked about.
Okay, so buybacks and a solid dividend. Now, all this capital deployment, whether it's reinvesting or returning cash, needs to generate strong returns to actually create value. How do Secure's returns on the capital they've invested stack up against their peers?
That's a critical measure. A key indicator of effective capital allocation is the returns on capital generated on invested capital. And Secure has demonstrated a strong and, importantly, improving ability to deploy capital profitably.
What metrics show that?
Well, the company's return on capital employed, ROCE, and its return on invested capital, ROIC, have shown significant improvement. ROIC, for instance, increased from 17% in 2022 to a very impressive 21% in 2024.
21% ROIC, how does that compare?
For context, ROIC measures how efficiently a company uses its invested capital to generate profits. That 21% is crucially and substantially higher than the peer group average, which is around 9%.
9% for peers, 21% for Secure. There's a huge difference.
It's a massive difference. It indicates that management is successfully investing in projects and assets that generate high rates of return. It's really a hallmark of discipline and effective capital management. They're not just spending money, they're spending it well.
Okay, just to give you a snapshot of this commitment again, table two. Capital deployment and shareholder return summary, 2023-2025E, really shows the scale. Over this three-year period, they plan to deploy about $300 million for organic growth CapEx, around $190 million for strategic M&A, roughly $315 million for dividends, and that massive $1.1 billion for share repurchases.
Totaling about $1.9 billion.
Right, $1,905 million in total capital deployed. And their shareholder yield, which combines dividends and buybacks for 2024 alone, was approximately 20%.
20% shareholder yield. That's huge. It really underscores that aggressive capital return strategy. #TAG7, growth pathways and strategic vision.
Okay, beyond just returning capital, which they're clearly doing aggressively, what are the plans for actually growing the business itself? Ensuring long-term expansion, where's the new revenue coming from?
Right. They're not just shrinking the share count. They're also investing in the future. Secure has identified several high-return organic growth opportunities and has allocated about $125 million in growth capital for 2025 to pursue them.
$125 million for growth this year. What's key about these projects?
A key feature is that the majority of this investment is directed towards infrastructure-based projects that are backed by long-term commercial agreements.
Contracted revenue, de-risk.
Exactly. It provides a high degree of certainty on future cash flows. For example, in produced water disposal infrastructure, they're building two new facilities, complete with integrated pipelines, in the highly active Montney region of the WCSB.
Okay.
These projects are underpinned by 10-year contracts. That significantly de-risks the investment and ensures a long-term revenue stream.
10-year contracts are great. What else?
They've also completed the third phase of their Clearwater terminal expansion. That increased the terminal's capacity to 75,000 barrels per day and added new emulsion treating capabilities. And again, the expanded capacity is also secured by long-term contracts.
More contracted infrastructure growth.
Yep. And in metals recycling expansion, following that strategic acquisition they made in Edmonton, the company is investing to enhance its processing capabilities. They're leveraging an underutilized mega shredder to increase throughput and efficiency.
Getting more out of assets they already acquired.
Exactly. And this capitalizes on that long-term trend towards green steel production, which relies heavily on recycled scrap metal. So it ties into sustainability trends, too.
Interesting. So organic growth is one path. But what about growth through acquisition? Are they still looking for deals?
Yes. In addition to organic projects, Secure continues to evaluate inorganic growth through strategic tuck-in acquisitions. These are typically smaller deals meant to supplement their growth trajectory.
What's the strategy behind these acquisitions?
The focus is on opportunities that allow them to expand their geographic footprint, add new service capabilities, and importantly, align with their core infrastructure and waste management profile. They're not just buying anything.
Sticking to their knitting.
Pretty much. No. The metals, recycling, and industrial waste sectors are particularly attractive targets for them. They remain relatively fragmented, lots of smaller players.
Oh, yeah.
And that offers opportunities for a well-capitalized player like Secure to act as a consolidator.
Makes sense. Any recent examples?
Well, that January 2025 acquisition of the Edmonton Metals recycling business for around $150, $160 million is a prime example of the strategy in action. It shows their ability to execute on these smaller, accretive deals that enhance their core business.
Okay. Ultimately, though, the success of any strategy, especially one as transformative as Secure's, really rests on the people executing it. What can we say about Secure's management team and their vision? Are they the right people to keep steering this ship?
That's always a crucial question. The current leadership team, headed by President and CEO Alan Gransch, has demonstrated a clear strategic vision and, importantly, a very strong execution track record since taking the helm.
Gransch took over from the founder, right?
Yes. He succeeded founder Rene Amirol, who's now vice chair. Mr. Gransch, along with CFO Chad Magus and COO Corey Higham, form a leadership group with deep experience within Secure and the industry. Their management's strategic vision and execution track record has been truly tested and proven, particularly through that whole Tervita merger and the subsequent forced divestiture saga.
That must have been incredibly complex to manage.
Extremely. They successfully navigated a complex regulatory process, negotiated an accretive all-cash sale for the divested assets under duress. That's not easy.
Right. They didn't have much choice but to sell.
Exactly. It required real strategic agility and keen negotiation to get maximum value. Then they decisively pivoted the company's strategy. The rapid deleveraging of the balance sheet, the immediate launch of that aggressive capital return program, it all highlights a management team that is strategically agile, financially disciplined, and intensely focused on creating shareholder value. They seem to know what they're doing. Hashtag check check 88. Analysis of recent challenges, 2022-2024.
Okay, no transformation comes without its bumps in the road, especially one of this magnitude. What were the major hurdles Secure navigated recently, particularly during that key 2022-2024 period when so much was happening?
Yeah, that was a critical time. The most significant event defining this period was definitely the aftermath of the July 2021 merger with Tervita.
The competition challenge.
Right. The transaction was challenged by Canada's Competition Bureau. They argued it would substantially lessen competition for oil and gas waste services and the WCSB.
And they lost that fight initially.
They did. In March 2023, the Competition Tribunal ruled against Secure, ordering the company to divest a significant number of facilities, 29 specific assets, to resolve those competitive concerns.
That must have felt like a major blow.
It definitely presented a major challenge. Forced to sell a portfolio of productive assets under a mandated timeline. But as we discussed, management was able to turn this major challenge into a strategic opportunity.
The sale to Waste Connections.
Exactly. In February 2024, Secure completed the sale of that divestiture package to Waste Connections for $1.15 billion, all cash.
And the price was decent.
The valuation was considered accretive, meaning they got a good price for it, and the all-cash nature provided that massive infusion of capital. It let them fundamentally reset the balance sheet by paying down debt, and crucially, provided the dry powder to launch that substantial shareholder return program.
So a forced sale turned into a strategic plus, in a way.
In a way, yes. While the divestiture did reduce the company's overall scale, it ultimately acted as a powerful catalyst for the strategic and financial transformation that defines the company today. It kind of forced their hand towards becoming this leaner, more focused infrastructure company.
Interesting outcome. Beyond these company-specific events, though, the broader economic environment also played a role. How did macroeconomic headwinds like inflation and commodity price swings affect Secure during this period, and how did they handle it?
Right. They weren't operating in a vacuum. Like the rest of the industry, Secure navigated a challenging macroeconomic environment. We saw inflation and labor costs surge globally. That put upward pressure on operating costs, fuel, chemicals, equipment.
Everything got more expensive.
Everything. The Canadian energy sector also faced a tight labor market, leading to wage inflation as companies competed for skilled workers.
But their margins held up well, didn't they?
They did. Secure's ability to maintain those high EBITDA margins throughout this period suggests it was largely successful in managing these costs and, where possible, passing them through to customers, likely due to the essential nature of their services.
Right. Customers had to pay because they needed the service.
Seems like it. Additionally, the period was marked by significant commodity price volatility. swings driven by geopolitics, shifting demand patterns.
Oil prices were all over the place.
All over. While Secure's recurring revenue model tied to production insulated it somewhat compared to drilling-focused companies.
Right, less direct impact.
Those fluctuations still invariably impact customer sentiment, activity levels, and just the general health of the WCSB ecosystem. It's not completely disconnected.
Makes sense. And what about the big picture changes in how the oil and gas producers themselves are operating? That must have had an impact on Secure's business too.
Absolutely. A key trend during the 2022-2024 period was a fundamental shift in the shifting capital spending patterns by producers, having endured several severe downturns.
They got religion on spending, didn't they?
You could say that. E&P companies broadly adopted a new model, focusing much more intently on capital discipline, prioritizing shareholder returns, dividends, buybacks over just aggressive production growth.
Value over volume.
Exactly. That value over volume strategy is actually, perhaps counterintuitively, a net positive for Secure.
How so?
It fosters a more stable and predictable operating environment. It supports the long-term production levels that drive Secure's recurring waste volumes, rather than contributing to those wild boom-bust cycles of drilling that characterized previous eras.
So less frantic drilling actually makes Secure's revenue more predictable.
In a way, yes. It's less reliant on the volatile swings of drilling budgets and more tied to the steadier baseline of production.
Okay, this brings us to the core mystery, the real puzzle of this deep dive. If Secure has transformed so successfully, if it boasts strong financials, has excellent management executing a clear strategy, why does it still seem so undervalued by the market? Why the disconnect?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? When we conduct a peer group valuation analysis, the contrast between Secure's strong fundamental metrics and its discounted trading multiples relative to its most relevant peers, it's stark.
And the most relevant peers are those big North American waste companies, right?
Exactly. While Secure has that unique energy concentration, its business model, recurring revenue, high margins, infrastructure-like assets is truly most analogous to those firms. That's the best comparison group.
So what did the data show? What's the gap?
The data reveals a significant valuation gap. Based on 2025 estimates, Secure trades at an enterprise value to EBITDA, multiple of around 8-9x.
Okay, 8-9 times EBITDA.
Now compare that to the peer group average, which is roughly 14.2x, maybe even 16x, depending on the exact group.
14 to 16 for peers, that's almost double Secure's multiple.
It's about 4 times lower, depending on how you calculate it, yes. To put that EBITDA multiple in perspective, it's roughly how many years of operating profit it would take to buy the entire company, debt included.
So the market thinks it takes way fewer years to pay back Secure's value than its peers.
Essentially, yes. And there's a similar significant discount on its price-to-earnings PE multiple. Secure trades around 10-12x earnings compared to a peer average of about 26.6x.
Wow. Again, less than half. This discount is substantial. Is it justified by the underlying fundamentals?
Well, that's the debate. Let's compare the underlying performance metrics directly. What's truly striking here is how Secure actually outperforms its peers on key financial metrics.
Okay, so the discount exists despite better performance.
In many ways, yes. Looking at Secure's superior metrics versus peers, the numbers tell a compelling story. For instance, Secure's free cash flow conversion, how much profit becomes cash, is over 50%.
Right, we saw that earlier. How does that compare?
Significantly higher than the peer average of around 39%. So Secure is better at turning profit into cash.
Okay, what else?
Their adjusted EBITDA margin stands at a robust 33.6%. Compare that to a peer average of about 26.8%. Again, superior operational efficiency.
Higher margins, too.
And critically, their return on invested capital, ROIC, is that remarkable 21.1%, substantially higher than the peer average of roughly 9.2%.
That ROIC difference is huge. Shows they use capital way more effectively.
Demonstrably so. These figures clearly show superior profitability and efficiency compared to the very peers it trades at a discount to.
So what are the arguments for the discount then? Why is it trading so much lower?
The common arguments likely revolve around a few key factors. First, secures smaller scale compared to industry giants like Waste Management, Inc.
Okay, size matters to some investors.
Second, its geographic concentration in the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin. It's not diversified across North America like the peers.
The Canada risk factor, perhaps.
Perhaps. And third, its customer concentration within the Canadian energy industry. That's still perceived by some as being higher risk than the more diversified municipal and industrial customer bases of its larger peers.
Even though those customers are mostly investment grade.
Even so, perception plays a big role. So the core of this valuation debate is essentially this. Is the market over-penalizing SECURE for these concentration factors? And in doing so, is it failing to give adequate credit for its demonstrably superior profitability and returns?
That's the crux of it. Are the risks fully appreciated or overblown relative to the financial performance? That's fascinating. Those numbers are undeniably impressive. But some listeners might still be thinking, okay, but it's still tied to oil and gas. Isn't that inherently risky long term? How do you reconcile that impressive performance with what some might see as an inescapable industry linkage?
It's a valid concern, and it's likely a major reason for the discount. The market might be applying a Canada energy discount that overshadows the infrastructure-like qualities of the waste business.
Right. Another compelling metric that underscores this potential value is the free cash flow yield.
Right. Absolutely. Based on that reported $316 million in discretionary free cash flow for 2024 and an approximate market capitalization of $3.8 billion, SECURE's trailing DFCF yield is over 8%.
8% free cash flow yield.
Yes. That represents a very attractive return for an infrastructure-like business with stable recurring cash flows. It's this strong yield that provides fundamental support for its consistent dividend and those aggressive buyback programs, directly rewarding shareholders. It's tangible cash return.
8% yield is hard to ignore.
And don't forget the underlying assets themselves. The asset-based valuation considerations are crucial, too.
The value of the actual facilities and landfills.
Exactly. While a formal asset valuation is complex, it's important to consider the intrinsic value of SECURE's physical assets. Given those extraordinarily high barriers to entry, particularly the regulatory hurdles for permitting new landfills and waste facilities, the replacement cost of its integrated network is truly substantial.
It would cost a fortune to rebuild it from scratch.
A fortune, and take many, many years if you could even get the permits. This large, in-place, permitted asset base likely provides a significant floor to the company's valuation. It represents real, hard-to-replicate value. #TAG, #TAG, #TAG X, risks on the horizon.
Okay, while the story is compelling and the transformation impressive, every investment, no matter how strong, carries inherent risks. We have to look at the other side. What are the potential headwinds or challenges for SECURE that you, the listener, should be aware of?
Absolutely crucial to consider the risks. The most significant area of concern is probably still market and commodity risk.
The energy link again.
Yes. Despite the successful transformation, SECURE's revenue and cash flow are still fundamentally derived from the activities of oil and gas producers in the WCSB.
So what's the specific risk there?
A severe and prolonged downturn in commodity prices that leads to widespread long-term production shut-ins would materially reduce the volume of waste streams and negatively impact the company's results.
If wells get shut down, the waste stops flowing.
Exactly. While the business is more resilient to price volatility than before, it's not entirely decoupled from the health of its core end market.
And what about the metals recycling side?
That's another point. The metals recycling business, which is a growing component, is exposed to the cyclicality of global scrap metal prices. These prices are influenced by broader global economic growth, industrial production, trade policies.
So economic downturns could hurt that part.
They could create volatility and margin pressure in that segment, yes.
Okay, market and commodity risks. What about operational risks? Things going wrong day to day.
Right. The company has a significant capital program for organic growth. There's always a risk of project execution issues, delays, cost overruns, maybe failure to successfully commission new facilities like those Montney water disposal plants on time or on budget.
Construction risk.
Construction and commissioning risk, yes. Furthermore, the company's operations are subject to inherent disruptions. Equipment failure, pipeline incidents, extreme weather events like wildfires or flooding.
Things you can't always control.
Exactly. These can disrupt operations, lead to unplanned downtime, and require costly repairs. Finally, operating in a competitive labor market, SECURE relies on a skilled workforce, An inability to attract and retain qualified personnel could lead to increased labor costs and operational challenges.
Finding good people is always key. Then there are the regulatory and environmental risks. This seems like a big one for a waste company.
It is. Secure's operations are subject to a complex web of stringent environmental regulations. Changes to these regulations could impose significant new compliance costs.
Rules getting even tougher.
Could happen. Moreover, the company's growth depends on its ability to obtain and renew permits for its facilities, a process that, as we've said, can be lengthy and uncertain.
Permitting risk for growth.
Yes. And given the nature of the waste management business, there's an inherent risk of environmental liabilities. While the company adheres to high standards and carries insurance, an unforeseen event, a spill, a leak could result in significant remediation costs and fines.
Accidents happen.
They do. The company also has substantial long-term asset retirement obligations for its facilities, basically. The cost to clean them up eventually that must be funded over time.
Okay. Lastly, what about financial and counterparty risks?
Well, although diversified among many producers, Secure's customer base is concentrated within a single industry, oil and gas. A systemic financial crisis within the Canadian E&P sector would pose a significant counterparty credit risk.
If their customers go bust.
Right. Also, a portion of the company's debt, particularly that revolving credit facility, is subject to floating interest rates. A sustained increase in benchmark interest rates could increase the company's financing costs and reduce free cash flow.
Interest rate risk. Got it.
It's crucial for any investor to understand these risks, definitely. But it's also important to note how management aims to mitigate them. For instance, the focus on long-term contracts for new infrastructure helps offset some commodity price sensitivity. Their robust balance sheet, especially post-divestiture, provides a significant cushion against unforeseen financial shocks. And those high barriers to entry we keep talking about, they insulate them somewhat from new competition, giving them more control over pricing and operations despite broader market fluctuations.
So there are risks, but also mitigating factors. Hashtag UZXSIVE, management quality and corporate governance. Okay, given the scale of this transformation and the ongoing strategies, how strong is the leadership behind Secure? We touched on this, but are they truly the right team to continue steering this ship into its new future? Quality of management is so important.
Absolutely critical. Secure is led by a relatively new executive team, but one that has already navigated a period of immense change and challenge very successfully, I'd argue.
Alan Granch, the CEO since May 2024.
Right. He was appointed president in late 2022 and then took over as CEO from the founder, Renee Amaral, who's now vice chair. Mr. Granch, along with CFO Chad Minkus and COO Corey Higham, form a leadership group with deep experience within Secure and the industry. Their management team and track record demonstrate strong strategic acumen and capital discipline that have been thoroughly tested and proven through the complexities of the Tervita merger and that forced divestiture.
They handled that tough situation well.
Extremely well. Their ability to manage that complex multi-year process, ultimately extracting an accretive valuation for the divested assets under duress, and then executing a clear and decisive strategic pivot for the remaining business, that's a strong, positive indicator of their capabilities.
Shows good execution.
And the immediate focus on deleveraging the balance sheet and initiating that large-scale capital return program demonstrates a clear commitment to financial discipline and, crucially, to shareholder value creation. They seem very aligned with owners.
Which leads to a strong sense of alignment, right, between management and shareholders. That's often a key indicator of a well-run company, something long-term investors really look for.
Definitely. And there are strong indicators of shareholder alignment and corporate governance at Secure.
Like what?
Firstly, insider ownership is significant. As of December 31st, 2024, the directors and executive officers as a group beneficially owned or controlled approximately 17.65% of the outstanding common shares.
18%. That's substantial. Real skin in the game.
A lot of skin in the game. It ensures that the interests of the leadership team are very closely aligned with those of external shareholders. Their personal wealth is directly tied to the company's performance.
Okay, that's good alignment. What else?
Secondly, as we discussed, their approach to capital allocation is arguably the strongest evidence of this shareholder alignment. By using a substantial portion of the company's free cash flow to aggressively buy back stock at what they clearly perceive to be a discounted price.
They're betting on themselves.
They are directly enhancing per share value for the remaining owners. It's a very direct way to show alignment. Finally, the company has a formal board structure and policies. Mandates for the board and its various committees, audit, corporate governance, and nominating are publicly available.
Transparency there.
Yes. And the board includes a healthy mix of company insiders and independent directors with extensive experience in the energy and finance industries, providing robust oversight and guidance. Seems like a solid governance setup. Hashtag TACTACTWEC12, concluding synthesis.
So we've taken a truly deep dive into Secure Waste Infrastructure Corp. It's a compelling story of transformation, isn't it? A journey from a cyclical energy services provider to this more stable, infrastructure-focused entity. Try and bring it all together now. Summarize the key arguments for why this company presents such an intriguing case.
Yeah, let's synthesize. The bull case for Secure is really centered on a successful and largely completed business transformation that, arguably, the market hasn't fully recognized yet.
Okay, what are the pillars of that bull case?
First, a fundamentally transformed business model. It's now de-risked, focused on stable waste and infrastructure revenues, where over 80% of volumes are tied to recurring production-based activities.
Right, the de-risking.
Second, it holds a dominant market position, protected by that formidable competitive moat built on an irreplaceable network of regulated, capital-intensive assets.
The moat, got it.
Third, it boasts a superior financial profile. Consistently generating industry-leading EBITDA margins, converting a high percentage of that into discretionary free cash flow, and earning a strong ROIC, consistently outperforming relevant peers on these key metrics.
Strong numbers.
Fourth, management is executing an aggressive and highly shareholder-friendly capital return strategy, using substantial free cash flow to aggressively repurchase shares and pay a sustainable dividend.
Returning cash big time.
And finally, there's that compelling valuation disconnect relative to its waste management peers. It presents a potential opportunity for multiple re-rating as the market perhaps gains a better appreciation for its new business model.
Okay, that's the bull case. But it's also important for us to acknowledge the counterarguments, what we might call the bear case. This perspective focuses on the inherent risks and the arguments that might justify that current valuation discount.
Absolutely. We have to look at both sides. The bear case revolves around several key concerns.
Such as?
Firstly, there's the inescapable energy linkage. Despite the shift to a production-based model, the company's destiny is ultimately tied to the health of the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin. A structural decline in Canadian oil and gas production would undeniably be a significant headwind.
Can't get away from energy entirely.
Not entirely. Secondly, there's geographic and customer concentration. Unlike its large-cap peers serving diversified customers across North America, Secure's business is highly concentrated in one region and one primary industry. That lack of diversification is a classic argument for a valuation discount.
Your point.
Thirdly, there's execution and regulatory risk. The company has to successfully execute its organic growth projects to meet expectations, and it operates in a highly regulated industry where unforeseen changes in environmental policy could impose significant costs.
Execution and policy risk.
And finally, there's the risk of a persistent discount. The market may simply continue to view Secure as an energy stock rather than a waste management or infrastructure stock. That valuation gap might just persist indefinitely, regardless of its strong fundamental financial performance. Perception can be sticky.
The market might just keep it in the energy box.
It's possible.
So, this deep dive reveals a company that has truly reinvented itself, undergoing a profound business transformation, but where market perception, it seems, hasn't fully caught up to its new reality. Secure Waste Infrastructure Corp. represents a compelling case of corporate evolution. They've successfully repositioned into a more stable, profitable, and highly cash-generative business. Management has clearly demonstrated strategic clarity and financial discipline in navigating a complex merger and a challenging divestiture, and is now executing a robust capital return program.
All true.
The central question, then, for you, the listener, after exploring all this, is truly one of valuation and market perception. Does Secure a superior financial metrics and defensible market position demand a valuation re-rating that closes that significant gap with its peers?
Oh.
Or do the inherent risks associated with its concentration in the Canadian energy sector and maybe a market slow to change perception justify a permanent discount?
That's the core debate.
Ultimately, consider how long it truly takes for the market to fully appreciate a profound business transformation like this. Is this an opportunity or is it a perpetual puzzle? Something to think about.